Hi, I'm Lise Wheel, and this is Wheel of Justice. So I'm taking a break from real murders. Instead, I've decided to interview some mystery writers who kill people in their novels. Now, no one wants murder in their real life, but in terms of fiction, whether it's books, TV shows, or movies, we all love a good murder. And it's even better if there's mystery surrounding the murder, and you, as the viewer or reader, have to try to figure out who did it and why. This is Wheel of Justice, the thriller mystery edition. And with that, I bring in a new guest, Steve Barry. I met Steve a couple of years ago in Kentucky, and we were thrown on a panel together, just the two of us, in front of a group of people. And he started out by saying, well, before I started writing all these mega mystery novels, he's got something like 19 million, or who's counting, novels out there that have been sold, 19 million books that have been sold. He said, I was a defense lawyer for many years. So, of course, you know, me being a former prosecutor, I just glommed right onto that. And we just had a big time back and forth. Right, Steve?
Oh, yeah. You abused me for that.
It was fun. Well, you're such a good Southern gentleman, you didn't even seem to mind.
No, I was your straight man for that time, and the audience seemed to like it, too.
Well, the last time we spoke was at here in New York a few weeks ago with Thriller Fest. And, Steve, tell us a little bit about Thriller Fest. I've been going now for years, and I just love it. Tell us more about it.
It's summer camp for thriller writers and thriller enthusiasts. It's where the genre gets together. International Thriller Writers is a group of 2,800 writers from around the world, working thriller writers. And we gather in New York every year in July, and it's really great. We have teaching, we have seminars, we have panels, we have our awards are given out. It's 5 days of just thrillers. So anybody who's interested in it can check it out at thrillerfest.com. It's all there.
And there's some interesting writer characters. I mean, writers that are characters in and of themselves, wouldn't you say, that sort of come crawling out of the woodwork to go to Thriller Fest?
Oh, God, yeah, everyone comes. We had a great group this year. You know, Clive Cussler came, and Nelson DeMille was there. Scott Turow was there. Greg Isles. The biggest names in the business come and hang out for these days and talk thrillers and work with each other.
And these are people, though, that – come on, Steve, let's – face it, let's be honest, they spend their days writing murder mysteries, murdering people on paper, and they're kind of secluded, most of them, in their studies or elsewhere. I know you do a lot of traveling, but a lot of people just sort of write their books in their study, and then they come out into the light for Thriller Fest. Isn't that make you a little nervous, all these murder mystery people out there?
No, because we understand that no one died in the writing of the book, actually. And it's all right out of our imagination. And you'd be surprised, these folks who write these kinds of stories are really just the nicest people in the world. They're just all the thriller writers are very generous and very nice. And they're nothing like what they write. I mean, that's the same with me. I mean, I was a lawyer for years and years, and I write similar things. But they're an escape. They're a way to escape your world and go off into another place and entertain folks.
Mm-hmm. Except you do it full time. Let's talk about one of your main characters, Steve. Cotton Malone. He's been featured in many of your books, including your latest one, Patriot Threat, which was just out in March of this year. Tell us about Cotton, what he's up to.
He's a retired Justice Department agent. He lives in Copenhagen. He runs an old bookshop. He stays in trouble constantly, and that's the hook that I do with each one of the books. And there have been 10 adventures with Cotton. He's an interesting fella. He's basically me. I use my personality in him. When I created him in the Templar Legacy, and I didn't know he was going to get to stay around for all these books. I was hoping he would, but you didn't know that. So I just used me when I created it. It was simpler. So there's a lot of my personality in Cotton, and he's fun to visit with. He's changed a lot over the last 10 books. He's grown a little bit, and he's got several more adventures coming. I'll have a new one coming next April, and there'll be a couple more at least after that. So there's going to be a few more years of him.
And he does a lot of traveling in these mysteries, right?
Yes, he does not stay at his bookshop in Copenhagen very much.
Yeah, you can't really get involved in too many thrillers there, I wouldn't think.
No, well, I had a couple that started there. I blew up the shop a couple of times.
Oh.
He's had a lot of problems there.
So it's a bad shop.
Out of the shop. So he gets out a lot now. I've transitioned him into mostly an agent for hire now, so that he actually gets paid for what he does. It was a little much for him to keep doing that and not getting paid. So he's transitioned into that a little bit now.
So he's getting paid to travel, and you do a lot of traveling too for your books, right?
We do. We're gone probably, if you add it up, 5 months out of the year. We're probably 5-6 months out of the year we're on the road. Yeah, we go quite a bit. This is coming into my slower time of the year, starting fall and or winter is my slowest time. From about March through August is really a peak time for me.
When you're traveling, you mean?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
I'm writing the books. I turn my books in February or March, so I do a lot. It takes 12 months to write the book, but I really go hard at it from around August to March.
Mm-hmm. And do you like killing people in your books?
Do I like killing? No, not really. I don't have a lot of, I'll be honest with you, my books don't have a lot of violence in them. There's some violence because you have to have it in a thriller, mm-hmm. but I'm very careful about my violence. It has to be necessary for what's going on and important for what's going on. I don't like to gratuitously just kill people. I very rarely do that, in fact. It's I don't care for it in the novels, so I'm a little more careful with that.
And a lot of your thrillers are sort of history-based, right? I mean, Patriot Threat, Lincoln Myth. Tell us about how history plays a part in your writing.
Oh, it's critical because I pick something from the past, something forgotten, something you may not know a lot about, and I fashion the thriller around it. History's my hook, and I deal with all of that. Things like the Amber Room and the Lost Library of Alexandria and Alexander the Great's tomb and clauses in the Constitution and Napoleon's treasure and those kinds of things that are real from history, and then I weave a modern-day thriller around them. So that's sort of my entire, that's my thing. That's my little niche that I've carved out.
When you do all this research and everything and the traveling for the books, do you know how your book is going to end? In other words, do you write a big, long outline, or do you just kind of start with an idea and go with it?
No, I have to know the ending before I start, and the reason why is because people ask you all the time, where do you start a novel? Well, you start a novel as close to the end as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get as close to the end as you can to start it so the story will be tight. Well, that presupposes you have to know the end. So, yes, I do know the end. But first I have to get that thing from history, that cool thing. I call it the ooh thing, the thing that kind of makes you go ooh. And I find that cool thing from history. And I learned that when I was writing the book, the Templar book. I told people the next book was about the Templars, and everybody would go, ooh.
What's that? Yeah.
Say it. And so I find that ooh thing, and then I find the so what. Who cares if we find the Lost Library of Alexandria? What does it matter if there's a clause in the Constitution that allows piracy? Who cares? Well, I have to find that modern-day so what. Once I get those two, then I find the end of the novel, then I start formulating it together.
What about this idea in Patriot Threat about, you wrote it about taxes. I mean,
yes.
How boring is that, Steve?
It could be, but it turned out very exciting because it deals with something that happened in 1913, real from history, with the ratification of the 16th Amendment, and there were some serious problems with that.
Now, what's the 16th Amendment again?
That's the one that allows income tax.
Hmm.
And the question is, well, who cares what happened in 1913? Well, what if it was what if you could use that as a weapon of mass destruction? You could actually use the destruction of our income tax as a weapon to bring down America. Realize we get 90% of our revenues in this country from income tax. And what if you could turn our whole legal system against us? And that's what the antagonist in the novel does. He calls it the cleverest weapon of mass destruction ever. And I wove this thriller around it that takes place in 23 hours. Happens really, really fast. And there's a lot going on, and it's fascinating to find out, that something that happened in 1913 could actually still be detrimental to us today.
Fascinating. And Cotton Malone, you say that he's based pretty much on your character. Does he have a bad side?
Oh, yeah. He's got a little bit of a little bit of a temper every once in a while. Yeah, he'll get his tail up on his shoulders a little bit. He's terrible with women.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've met Elizabeth, your wife. She's fabulous.
She's lovely, and she makes up for that. I'm not very good with women either. I have my bad sides with I just can't figure them out sometimes, and I make mistakes and say the wrong thing, and so does Cotton. He does that too. And so, Cotton has that, sometimes he'll get a little overconfident, make mistakes, and Sometimes he gets blindsided a little. I made him human, and I think that's why people like him, because he's human. And you know, he's not a James Bond. He's not that kind of character. He's a little bit like the guy next door, and I think that's why people have identified with him.
And what's he going to be doing next? You said you teased us with something coming out in April. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
It's going to be really interesting story. Deals with the 20th Amendment to the Constitution, which is the Presidential Succession Act, of how it happens. There's a major flaw in that amendment, and I have woven that together with something that's going to happen on Inauguration Day. My president, Danny Daniels, in my story, is coming out of office. A new president's coming in, and Cotton gets caught up in something from the Cold War, and it's called the 14th Colony. Do you happen to know what the 14th Colony was?
No, tell us.
The 14th Colony was going to be Canada. Canada has the distinction of the only nation in the world that America has invaded twice and was defeated twice by. So Cotton gets caught up in this 14th colony again.
And that comes out in April 2016.
April 5th, 2016.
And I know one of your other passions, along with Elizabeth, is History Matters. What is History Matters? What are you doing there?
It's a foundation we created 6 years ago to help communities raise money for historic preservation. And we've gone all over the country. We've done about 80 projects over the country. We've raised nearly $1 million for the historic preservation. We assist communities in raising money. We do it through a variety of ways, dinners, meet and greets. Mainly we do it through our writer's workshop, where we teach writing for 4 hours and you buy your way in with a contribution, and all of that money goes to the historic preservation. We don't charge to come or expenses or anything. We actually pay our own way to be there. And we do around 6 to 8 of these a year. And they turned out very well. If anybody out there happens to have a project, they can go to my website, steveberry.org, click on History Matters, send us an email. We'll see if we can come help you out.
Terrific. Now, I know from back to Thriller Fest for a minute, that there are a lot of would-be writers there. You know, they've got the novel in their head, or maybe they've even written one, or many. Tell us a little bit about, first, your path to getting published, and then also advice you would give to people that are trying to start up and they've got that murder mystery in their mind.
Yeah, Thriller Fest is really those writers that are right at the cusp of about to break through, and they come there to network and to meet agents. We have Career Fest on Thursday, which has about 60 agents there they can meet with. We have teachings. We have all kinds of things going on. So it's really for those guys that are right at that crest. We also have beginners there, too. From my standpoint, you know, it took me, you know, from the day I wrote my first word to the day I sold my first word was 12 years. I wrote 8 manuscripts, 5 went to New York publishing houses, rejected 85 times. So, you know, it was the 86th time that I made it. So I'm sort of living proof that you can do it. And I'm also living proof for that old cliche, never give up. And so my advice to writers out there is very simple. You have to write every day. You have to apply yourself to it every day, and you have to keep at it and keep at it and keep at it. It's the only way to succeed. There is no shortcut in the publishing business. There's none that exists. If there was, we would have all taken it.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one route, and it's to sit down and write every day, learn your genre, learn your craft, and hang in there, and your day will come.
Now, I have to ask you, because this is called Wheel of Justice, what role, if any, does justice play in your novels?
In all of them, they are. I always resolve everything in all of my books. It's the lawyer in me that wants to resolve all that up. And justice plays a very key role in that. The good guy wins, the bad guy gets his due, and all is right. And it works out through that whole process. And I want that. I want a happy ending to the books. I don't like an unfinished or a sad or an upsetting ending. I like things to wrap up, and justice is a key role of that, where Cotton makes sure that things get set right.
Steve Berry, thank you so much for being with us. His books have been translated into 40 languages with 19 million copies in 51 countries. Is that absolutely true, Steve?
Yeah, actually, it's not anymore. Oh. We've now hit 20 million.
20 million, okay.
We did hit 20 million is now, we're going to change that number shortly, but we recently hit the 20 million mark.
I got to start catching up with you, Steve.
You will.
This is Lise Wheel for Wheel of Justice. Till next time.